you know, it's a week from today is the big election. We're going to have an election, regardless of what's going on the East Coast. In the words of Chris Christie, I ain't worrying about a presidential election right now. I'm taking care of business in New Jersey. We're taking care of business here. It is our final candidate Tuesday. And today, the candidates for the 7 black majority legislative districts here in Marion County. This is kind of, except for two candidates we'll have tomorrow, this is the last opportunity that you'll have to hear from candidates in the November 6th election. In our first hour, we've got two outstanding Republicans that are here running. One is Carl Scharnberg. He is running in New House District 96. That district... Oh, this was interesting. This area includes the area around the fairgrounds, around the meadows, Mapleton Fall Creek, Old North Side, some of the Near East Side, Fall Creek Place, Michigan Road, the Michigan Road area west of Michigan Road between 38th Street and Fox Hill. Also some of Butler Tarkington, a little bit of Meridian Kessler, some of the Devon area as well. That's New House District 96. House District 99, Republican candidates here, Dr. David Blank. That district is in the shape of one of those ships that I saw one of those Star Wars movies. It is basically the area between 38th Street and Fox Hill, west of Michigan Road, all the way to the Washington Township, Pike Township line, and then everything south along 38th Street, south of 38th Street, between 38th and 30th, going all the way from...
Yeah, all the way up to Davis High School.
A little bit past 465, going all the way east over to what looks like Meridian Street or Central Street or something like that, all the way south. It includes the area around Northwest High School. It includes the area just to the north of Speedway, and it includes the area just bordering on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway to the east, parts of Hawville, the Unwa Riverside neighborhood, as well as some of the western part of Mapleton Fall Creek. Guys, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Let me start with Carl Scharnberg. Why are you running?
Well, I think the main reason that sort of got me ginned up to take that risk and jump into the pool was the legislative walkout over right to work the session before last. For 5 weeks, I was basically unrepresented in the General Assembly and felt like someone needed to step forward and try to address that breach.
Mm-hmm. David Blank, why are you running?
This is actually my second time running. Same district number, although it changed quite a bit, as you just described. But I'm an ER doctor, and I'm interested in doing things that work. And I see the assembly getting caught up in little squabbles about things that are not really important to affecting the lives that people are leading.
Mm-hmm. If you are elected on November the 6th, Carl Scharnberg in District 96, what would you be articulating for? What would you want the legislature to do that is not currently being done?
Well, I think we have three priorities going into this election, and the first one is probably a priority in any election anywhere in the United States today, and that's about bringing jobs and creating economic climate for job growth. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Secondly, I think education is always among the top things. It's one of the biggest things that state government does. And so we want to do things to improve education opportunities for the students of Indiana. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing that I think is going to come into – actually, there's probably four things. But the third thing that is going to be coming up in this next General Assembly is transit, public transit. It looks like that's finally going to come in some way, shape, or form before this next General Assembly. And then finally, we have the Obamacare mandate coming down from the federal government that will need to be addressed in some way, shape, or form. So those are sort of the four priorities, I think, that we'll be looking at.
David Blank, if you're elected to the legislature, what would be your priorities that currently aren't being done?
Yeah, I think I'm going to second Carl's answers. And I would almost guess that every candidate from both parties you have in are probably going to hit at least on the top three: jobs, education, and mass transit. Mm-hmm. I'm a small business owner, so certainly creating jobs and getting people back to working is going to be a key idea. Everybody agrees that small businesses is the pathway to success. It's the pathway to getting people jobs. It's going to pull us out of the recession finally. My opponent, who is Vanessa Summers, and I think most of your listeners are probably very familiar with her. She's been in office for a good long while. Mm-hmm. She's a good person. Mm-hmm. She's got a lot of heart in what she does. But the National Federation of Independent Businesses ranked her 99th out of our 100 representatives for supporting small business and the jobs that they bring with them.
Let me ask you, what piece of legislation could you all pass that would bring small businesses into these districts? As I look at the map of District 99 and District 96, I see areas like the Meadows. I see areas along Michigan Road. I see areas in Mapleton Fall Creek where retail has died out. And retail, I believe 14-15% of all persons who are employed here in Indianapolis and Marion County are employed in retail. Similarly in District 99. So what is it that you all can do from a state perspective that would bring these jobs there? In other words, one could say Republicans have been in charge of the state for the last 8 years, and they've not brought any jobs into these two districts. So, you know, what new thing is there and available that would bring jobs here?
Yeah, well, I'll take that one first. Yeah. We'll trade this thing. Yeah, and it's not one of those things that you can turn around quickly. It's just like the national economy. Mm-hmm. It's not going to turn around in a day. And there are things that are being put in place already that we should continue. And it's not one thing that you can do. Certainly you can offer tax abatements. You can offer tax incentives. You can even take some of this empty land or empty businesses that have been sitting there for years and years and even give that land to companies or give them at a low interest loan, so to speak, to get people to come into these areas. But the bigger keys are they're not going to come to these areas if the school systems aren't good and if the neighborhoods aren't safe. And that's where I've seen one of the biggest failures for Vanessa Summers is while she's been in office for 22 years, we have more boarded up houses now than when she started. We have for 17 years she voted against any education reforms, even though the number of dropouts had risen to 50% in some of our schools. And now we've got all these kids who have no diplomas, and they're not a workforce that's attractive to businesses. You know, do you want to hire somebody who's got at least a high school education or not? And I think if she'd have stepped up earlier, sat down with the teachers' union and said, hey, we've got a problem in education. What can we do to fix it? She could have taken all the credit for that. But instead, she took their money, got reelected, and refused to do anything. And now we've got mainly minority kids who are out of work and they have little hope of getting a job.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoon's Names with Dr. David Blank. He is the Republican candidate in House District 99. Carl Scharnberg is the Republican candidate in House District 96. David, you talked about 50% dropout. Where does that figure come from?
Actually, that's just one that was been widely publicized in the newspaper.
Is it accurate?
It is accurate at some schools. It is not accurate on a broad base, as far as that goes.
So if I look at the data from Dr. Tony Bennett's Indiana Department of Education and look at the Indianapolis public schools and see the graduation rate in 2009, those who started as freshmen and who finished in 4 years with a diploma was 48.6% in 2009, 58.3% in 2010, 64.6% in 2011. That's the last year that it was published. And then the state also publishes the actual number of students who actually dropped out. measured by that same cohort. So in the 2006 school year, it was only 26.8% in IPS. In 2007, 36.1%. In 2008, 29.6%. In 2009, 29.8%. In 2010, 24.6%. And in 2011, 20.4%. Again, the data from the Department of Education. We've never had a 50% dropout rate here. That is a fiction that the State Chamber of Commerce has created, some other national groups created, without even going to the state and getting the data.
Well, let's look at it this way, though. If only 50% of the kids graduate, how do you put those two numbers together?
Oh, very simple. The rest are those that get GEDs. The rest are those that take perhaps 4 years and 3 months to graduate with a diploma, or maybe 5 years with a diploma. In fact, if my memory serves me right, it was the legislature that decreed that we had create a sensible graduation rate, and that's something that passed on a bipartisan basis. And it may be your opponent voted for that.
I don't want to get caught up in, parsing the numbers we're talking about. I'm talking graduation rates. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that as many kids as we have out there are graduating. We want to get as many kids as we can to get their diplomas, mm-hmm. get to the end of the finish line, finish the race that's set out before them, and then move on into the job market, whether that's vocation, whether that's college. We want to make those things available to them.
What other tools, other than what has been done the last 3 years in terms of education reform, would you advocate?
Well, I'm hogging the barn. I'm going to let Carl answer for a second.
Going back on education, we have vouchers. We have school choice. There is this evaluation thing with teachers. What else is there?
Well, I think, especially when you look at an IPS in our districts, you look out there, and there are some good schools mm-hmm. That we have in this district. And I think anytime you have good principals, you have good schools. Mm-hmm. And so, in terms of that, what I would want to do is to sort of develop principals and give them the authority to make hiring and firing decisions, to be able to use the interview selection process. In a way that allows them to build a team mm-hmm. at their local schools, which would be more accountable to parents because they're in the local schools than what we currently have. I read a statistic on MindTrust's website that talked about more than a third of IPS teachers have been placed in their jobs without an interview. Mm-hmm. To me, that seems crazy that we would select teachers that way. And in fact, that the principals aren't involved in creating these teams at the schools themselves. Mm-hmm. If we were to make that one simple change, I think we could improve schools drastically and make them much more accountable to the parents and to the teachers.
How do you make the school leader accountable? In other words, if you have a lousy school leader who doesn't know how to hire the best staff, who places the check on the principal, on the school leader?
Well, I think you still have an administrative function in the IPS, in IPS's downtown district here, that would have to monitor the accountability of these teachers. And
let me ask the two of you, if you're elected, would you support legislation to eliminate the IPS elected board?
You know, that's one of the proposals that MindTrust brought forward, and I'm not entirely sure that's a good thing. I think that's something that we could certainly have the discussion about, and whether ultimately a school board is a useful tool or not. You know, the thing we can look at right now is the fact that we've had a school board for 50-100 years, whatever it is, and yet we have these failing schools. So obviously the school board is not a panacea that's going to cure all ills, and maybe there's a different way to do it, and maybe there's a better way to do it.
Yeah, and in general, and you can expand this wherever you need to, but in general my philosophy is the best government is the government that is closest to the people. Mm-hmm. And so the further you move those people away from administrators, the further you move administrators away from teachers, the harder it is for them to actually see the needs of those individual teachers. And I think that keeping somebody who's got their pulse on the system close to the system is the best way to ensure that you're meeting the needs of those kids.
There are a lot of people listening who are strongly against right to work. And am I assuming that you all are in favor of right to work? And if so, why is that positive for the people of this district?
Well, you know, I had a candidate forum out in the Butler-Tarkington Neighborhood Association, and my opponent, Greg Porter, was talking in terms of haves versus have-nots. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good way to look at right to work. We recently got some data that shows that 26 companies have selected in Indiana because of our decision to go right to work. With that, brought 3,100 jobs and $414 million in new investments.
Were any of those companies, did any of them locate in either District 99 or District 96?
I'm not entirely sure where those companies are located. I do know that there are still another 66 companies that have, they're in the pipeline mm-hmm. as far as deciding to come that right to work is.
Yeah, I know some that have expressed interest are looking at the 16th Street corridor, the high-tech corridor over there by Busch Stadium.
But how does locating in the quote-unquote high-tech corridor, how does that bring jobs to District 99 and District 96?
Well, you got to have the businesses there first. I mean, I don't want to sound too simple, but, I mean, we have to have the businesses before you got the jobs.
But what stops that business from going into the 16th Street corridor and hire people from Brownsburg and Avon and Fishers and Noblesville and Greenwood and the people that are in the districts that you want to represent get cut out of the deal?
Well, we have to make sure that the workforce that lives in the district is up to meeting those jobs. And that goes right back to education. I think that education is the cornerstone.
Why are all the jobs we're looking for high tech?
That's where the market is moving.
What happened to bricklayers?
Oh, we still.
What happened to plumbers?
And
happened to retail? When you look at a small business, somebody working in a retail starting out on the fry line could end up as the manager, and they could end up as the owner or going out on their own.
But those are not necessarily the high paying jobs that we want to get more people involved with. Those jobs are certainly there. Those jobs are certainly available. Of course, the economy's got to pick up before construction jobs are going to turn around. I've met a whole lot of construction folks in District 99 who are just waiting for the economy to pick up so they can get back to work. Mm-hmm. But we also want to encourage jobs that are going to bring better salaries to the area as well.
Governor Daniels, when he went in, he instituted a Buy Indiana program, you know, encouraging that state contracts utilize Indiana firms. And one of the frustrations of people here in Marion County is government money has been spent on programs, and people see the out-of-state license plates on the pickup trucks coming in and doing the work, and people who live in Marion County, who live in Indiana, aren't getting the deal. You know, if you're elected, should we reform the laws to make sure that, you know, people that live here get some kind of preference for work?
I think the key is to make sure that the people who live here are the best qualified to have those jobs.
Well, I think we should make every opportunity available to local workers. And one of the things that I think would go a long way towards that, you know, we've talked to a lot of business owners who say that, you know, that there's supposedly thousands of jobs that they would expand if only they could find the right workers. Mm-hmm. Part of the problem, I think, is that people in our districts a lot of times are dependent on public transportation. Mm-hmm. And as bad as public transportation is, you know, you have to be able to match up a worker to a job.
Right.
Or you have to bring the job straight to the neighborhood.
On mass transit, what is your view of the deal that would, you know, expand mass transit or get us halfway decent mass transit here?
Well, I think that we first of all need to look at ways to improve the existing transit that we have in terms of bus services, the bus rapid transit system that's sort of on the table. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are lots of improvements we can make in those terms, just with the systems that we have in place now. I think down the road we need to look at maybe some sort of light rail or these sorts of proposals that are on the board, but I don't know that that's necessarily the first step in improving transit.
Is that how is that funded, and are you in favor of the referendum? In other words, let the people decide this is what we want to do.
Yeah, no question. I think that's the way to do it, because the funding is a problem. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to decide to do this, we need to go into it with our eyes open, mm-hmm. and let the voters say whether or not we're going to impose a tax upon ourselves in order to get this done.
That's Carl Schomburg. David Blank?
Yep, I agree completely. And I would also kind of tail onto what Carl said. I, too, a little less interested in building a whole bunch of trains out to the suburbs that make it easier for people to live outside of the metro area, but come in, they do the jobs, they get their paychecks, and then they head back out to the suburbs to spend their money. I'd be more interested in revitalizing the mass transit here in downtown, which makes it more attractive for people to work and live downtown.
239-1310, 239-1310 is After News. The name is with Carl Schomburg, the Republican candidate in House District 96, David Blank, the Republican candidate in House District 99. And here's how you can give to the Red Cross. This is real simple. Just text Red Cross to 90999. That's text Red Cross to 90999. And whatever phone service you have, they will automatically assess you $10 donation to the American Red Cross, and that's tax deductible. And I'm supposed to say, your regular message rates also apply, depending on whatever. I got a plan where I don't have those extra rates. I can just text Red Cross to 90999, give up $10. 239-1310. 239-1310 is our number. It is the final of our Candidate Tuesdays. Tomorrow, Scott Reske, the Democratic candidate in House District 5, will be here live, and John Gregg, the Democratic candidate for governor. Thursday, we're live from early voting. And Friday, the Secretary of State of Indiana, Connie Lawson, will be here with last-minute voting instructions. This afternoon's with Amos after these.
All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's with Amos with David Blank, Republican candidate in House District 99, Carl Schomburg in House District 96. As you all have gone out and knocked on doors, you've talked about jobs and education and mass transit. What issue have people brought up that you weren't expecting?
For me, one that came up that I kind of blindsided by it was prison reentry.
You've not listened to this program for 9 years. That's a big deal here.
Yeah, so that was one of the ones that came up pretty early on what to do about it. And frankly, as in my day job right now, I do criminal appeals for the state of Indiana as Attorney General's office. So I don't know why it didn't occur to me that this would be a hot topic. I think that in terms of that, and I'm not exactly sure what you can do about it, but I know that we need to probably do something, because really what we have is a large number of people coming out of the prison systems, maybe on their first offense particularly, where what we want to do is to be able to find places for them to land when they come out, and so that we're not constantly exercising the judicial system against folks and sending them back constantly.
One of the things that the legislature did on a bipartisan basis and with virtual unanimity, which the only other unanimity that's occurred in the legislature in the past couple of years has been approved resolutions for all the state high school championships. Is the legislation that allows an individual convicted of a nonviolent misdemeanor or nonviolent D-level felony to get their criminal record shielded from employers and credit bureaus, not expunged or erased, not used by the justice system, but to give people a shake. And the reason I bring that up, Carl Schomburg, is there's two issues on reentry. One, the individuals recently released from incarceration or supervision. The others are people who made a mistake, did what they had to do, did their punishment, have lived crime-free lives since, and after 8, 10, 15 years still get dinged, or people who can't get a job because they have an arrest or an arrest where the charges were either dropped or they were found not guilty in a court of law, but some risk-averse business says, oh, we can't hire you because you were arrested for stealing something even though the charge was dropped, or on the thing it says found not guilty. How then do we deal with this issue of it's almost like the overuse of background checks is like being over-medicated. And I think this occurred after 9/11, where we were trying to tighten things down so that nobody, you know, hired somebody from Al Qaeda that was asleep, you know, one of them Homeland things, where there's a sleeper cell in the business. But it has caused people to not be employed. And I think this is where the legislature, and probably the legislators all around Indiana, knew somebody in that circumstance. And this is where we found common ground.
Oh, sure. And I think this is a positive development. These are the sorts of people specifically who, you know, have done their time. They've come out and they deserve another shot. You know, they're not hardened criminals. They're not going to be back in the system if they can find a job. And to some extent, you know, a lot of people, I think if there were that sort of economic opportunity to be able to make good, would not find themselves back in the system.
Let me go to Jeff right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
Great show. First of all, I do agree with the gentleman. I don't know which one who made the comment that I think that that was as a Democrat, we could find common ground on the transit system. I do think it's about time that some of that money should be spent on downtown Indianapolis. If we want to be a world-class city, we got to spend money, taking this money back to Hamilton County and Geist Reservoir and the well-to-do areas on the outskirts, and they're reaping all the benefits of the city. But, you know, once again, Amos, this is the whole status quo thing. I'm glad you asked the question about the Republican-controlled Congress here in this state, who for years did nothing to bring job growth into those communities that these two gentlemen are representing, but yet they blame Obama for his supposed lack of effort after he's trying to clean up the mess that Bush did for the last 8 years. Once again, the arsonist is blaming the firefighter for the fire. And, you know, Republicans are really good about job creation, but the only problem is they create jobs in Mexico and Thailand and China, not the east side of Indianapolis or Martinsville or Anderson, Indiana or Kokomo. So, you know, once again, this whole right to work is, once again, Indiana is going to become the Mississippi of the North and the status quo. And I'd like to ask you two gentlemen, how do they feel about the Richard Murdoch comments about, well, we all know his famous comments, and do they support or do they agree or they abhor his comments about rape and pregnancy? And once again, you know, the Republicans, the conservatives actually, they like to talk about history, but remember one thing, progressives, we make history. Go unions, go civil rights, go women's rights.
All right.
He covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, Jeff will cover a lot of ground now.
I'll jump in just real quick on the Murdoch comment. And I know that a lot of your listeners certainly are people of faith and people of religion. But I mean, holy smokes, if it fits God's plan, he had a girl become pregnant without even having sex. Mm-hmm. And you know, for people who think, "Oh, God doesn't do bad things," Jesus was crucified. Mm-hmm. That was part of God's plan. So if you believe in God at all, and if you believe that God has a plan for you, you have to understand that not everything that happens in your life is going to be ice cream and cupcakes. You're going to have some struggles, and that's somehow part of how God has you grow. That's how God works in your life.
Let me ask the two of you, if elected, would you support a constitutional amendment to ban abortion in Indiana?
I don't think that would hold up constitutionally under the federal government. Mm-hmm. I mean, until you overturn Roe versus Wade, I'm not sure that you can do that here in the state of Indiana.
I would support measures to decrease abortion in any possible way.
Let me ask you.
I think we're both endorsed by the right to life.
Let me ask you one issue that I think is going to come up in the legislature. All three candidates for governor have talked about the importance of early childhood education and have hinted at perhaps providing some state support to early childhood education. We already have a voucher law here in Indiana where tax money at the parent's discretion can be used at a religious school, be it Christian or Jewish, and I think there's even a Muslim school, and those schools have to decide. You want to take Caesar's money, you have to agree to state standards, you've got to agree to accreditation and the whole ball of wax. We've had the tragedies at some child care ministries that have very, very minimal standards. Are you all, do we need to look at a state and say, wait a minute, if a parent gets one of those CCDF vouchers, which is government money, to be able to take care of the child care costs for their children at a daycare, and they go to a daycare ministry, the same rules ought to apply as the voucher system. In other words, you accept the voucher. If, you know, when you're on a K through 12, you got to accept meeting some state standards. Should the same rule apply to the daycare ministries? Because it seems to me, if a Catholic school or Heritage Christian can accept the vouchers and accept certain, you got to follow certain of Caesar's rules, the daycare ministries ought to be the same. And I think this is an issue that is going to come up before the next legislature with Schomburg.
I think that's a reasonable expectation is that, within reason, though, when we look at, for instance, some of the strings that come with the healthcare mandates, where religious organizations are having to cover birth control, for instance, if it gets into a point where it's infringing on the conscience of a religious organization, then I would say no. But in terms of safety for kids in a daycare setting, absolutely. I think they should be held to the same standards as a government role.
David Blank?
Yeah, and this clearly is Vanessa Summers, it's a cornerstone of her campaign. It's a bill that she's introduced multiple times in the last several years as to regulate child care ministries. And it's met with a lot of resistance from a lot of ministers who have slowly kind of come on board, mainly because you can just go out and say, well, I'm the Church of Amos Brown, and now I want to open a child care ministry, and I don't have to follow any regulations now because I'm a child care ministry. And, of course, the devil's always in the details.
Right.
And the problem is going to be, how do you clamp down on that? Do you want government actually regulating what is a religion, what is a church?
But haven't we done this in a positive way with the voucher law? In other words, the voucher law clearly says, school, if you want to accept these vouchers, then it's real simple. Then you have to accept state accreditation. You've got to test I-STEP. You got to do the same, these particular things. You do that, you get to accept the vouchers. If you don't, I know the international school does not do the voucher program. They want to keep that freedom, and I don't think anybody argues that that is not a high-quality private school. I think there's some other private schools that don't accept the vouchers right now. That's their choice. But since we've made that precedent with the vouchers, in other words, you're going to take Uncle Daniel's money, you got to, follow Uncle Daniel's rules, And it does not compromise it. I've not heard of it compromising any of the teaching of religion or the catechism classes or whatever goes on in a church K through 12 school.
Yeah, and of course the daycares, you could set up the rules however you want because it's a new program. Mm-hmm. And I'll just go on to say that I support preschool education. I think the data is clear that the sooner you get some of these kids, especially high-risk kids, plugged into the system and get them on the educational tracks, they do better later on. If your goal is to get kids educated, then the data is clearly there to start early.
Let me go to Mike at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing? My only comment is, I hear a lot of pro-life, Republicans are pro-life, and I don't understand how can you be pro-life, but the Republicans have no problem sending our kids to war, which they're obviously going to get killed, and then you have young kids over in other countries that are dying because of what we're doing over there, but why come they're not pro-life in that situation?
Well, I can say in my circumstance, I absolutely am. I would bring all the troops home immediately. I don't think that we should have ever been in Iraq in the first place. So in that sense, I think I am consistent in that sense. I oppose all of the wars that are ongoing at this time.
Yeah, I guess and those are, I would say, two different issues. Mm-hmm. The Army is a volunteer force that is designed to protect us, and the ultimate goal is you have enough force that people don't want to go to war with us. And, of course, the ultimate goal is to negotiate with other countries to keep us safe. But, I mean, police officers are out there keeping us safe, and sometimes they get killed because there are bad people in the world. And that's the way the military is designed, is to protect us from bad people. An unborn child, on the other hand, is an unborn child, and is it's a different ball of wax altogether.
Let me go to Tony at 239-1310. Hi there.
Wow, I didn't think you'd be able to get to me. Hey, I'm in this corner. It was a lot of things, negative ads out and about Obama and what he thinks and what he believes. I still can't get, and I just heard not too long ago one of the gentlemen on the panel say something about the virgin birth and God accepting rape. What kind of feedback have you had from women on that issue?
I don't know whether that's I don't think that's fair for the candidate, because they weren't the ones that made that statement. But as you all have gone out and talked to folks, are you hearing, feedback from women on this particular issue, or it's jobs, the economy, and crime?
Yeah, I have not heard anybody bring it up at all. Mm-hmm. And it may just be that I'm not talking about that race, and I think people recognize that we're not Richard Murdoch. And, everybody's an individual, even in the Democrat Republican Party, everybody's an individual, and everybody has their own different viewpoints and different nuances on the take. And I think people understand that, but it's jobs, and people are still concerned about education and how the new reforms are either going to work for them or not work for them.
Yeah, I would agree. That's been my experience as well.
Are you all disappointed that, I mean, here we're talking about seven districts. We like to save the best districts for the last, and it's just you two. Are you disappointed that your party couldn't find five more candidates committed to get out here and try to give the voters of Marion County options and choices?
Yes. And here's my take. I mean, the District 99 is a heavily Democratic district, but I think that you have to give people choices. Mm-hmm. You have, like I say, everybody's an individual, and just because someone is a Republican doesn't mean that they fit that stereotype. Just because somebody's a Democrat doesn't mean they fit those stereotypes. And so you have to kind of listen to what people are saying and pick the person who you think is going to represent you best, and that isn't necessarily going to be somebody from a certain party.
Carl Schoenberg?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I am a little surprised, actually, that there were only two out of the seven districts. I think that, in each of these districts, there needs to be a concerted effort to at least make sure that there's a choice.
All right. If people want more information about your campaign, let me start with David Blank. How do they get a hold of you?
The easiest way is just to go to voteblank.com. We got plenty of pictures of my kids, my family on there as well, and you can see what we're up to in the campaign.
Carl Schoenberg, if people want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of you?
The best way is our website, Carl, K-A-R-L, Indiana.com.
Now, if you haven't voted, early voting, 8 until 8 every day through Sunday. We'll be down there on Thursday, so y'all better come down on Thursday. And then, of course, there will be an election. So don't listen to all these prognosticators saying, well, we never had a natural disaster before a presidential election. Trust me, they're going to have an election because, A, all the car dealers want to have their ads back on television.
Yeah.
all the retailers want to start selling you Christmas stuff now. So they want all, A, and all of you want the ad. Anyway.
Carl Schoenberg, the Republican candidate in House District 96. David Blank, the Republican candidate in House District 99. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have
thanks,
you.
Thanks for having us.
When we come back, the other side is in the House. You know, we had to go rent other chairs to take care of Chris had to go to rent a chair to get some more chairs. This afternoon's with Davis after these.